Let's start things today with a pop quiz. If I told you about a children's nutrition program which costs schools nothing and ensures that children have a much-needed breakfast each school day, do you think your local school is participating in this program? Well, maybe not. According to a just-released 7th Annual New Jersey School Breakfast Report, perhaps even more troubling is that your local school may have even rolled back their participation. On the flip side, there are many schools in New Jersey which are taking full advantage of this terrific program. Our first guest today joins us to share the results of this annual study. She is the president and CEO of Advocates for Children of New Jersey, Cecilia Zelkin. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you.
And a couple of websites you can download and study this report yourself. And if you're one of the good school districts, you can applaud your school administrators. If you're not, you can tap them on the shoulder and say you're with it. It's acnj.org as well as njfoodforthought.org. And as far as mentioned, the annual study, Cecilia, what is it you're primarily putting focus on?
Well, this is our 7th annual report on school breakfast and whether children who are eligible to have breakfast in school are actually getting it. And while the state has made, districts across the state have made progress over the last 7 years, this is the first year that we've seen a decline. It's small, about 2% fewer children are receiving breakfast in school, but we're not happy. That's going in the wrong direction.
No, certainly when you say there's no slight drop, really, when it comes to the fact that children are being denied the opportunity for nutritious breakfast, because not every household is economically or through schedule and jobs or single parent, sometimes no parent situations, able to do what many people think is an obvious and a simple to do in their personal lives. Is there any one primary reason why this drop happened?
Yes, and I think to me, this is the irony of it. It's ironic, but it's a very easy solution. What we've discovered through our campaign is that districts that serve breakfast after the bell in the classroom reach more children. Those districts that continue to serve breakfast before school in a central location, when a lot of children are not there, are not reaching all the children they can.
And just where you were listening, the overall number puts that 304,000 children and low-income families missing out on this, what doctors have long said, the most important meal of the day, because it's fuel for the mind as well as the body. And if you send a child into a learning situation low on fuel, then we've seen studies proving that the learning happens lower then, too.
That's correct. And for us over the 7 years of this campaign, we certainly know the research about the importance of breakfast. Helps a child focus more, less trips to the nurse, better behavior. But we hear it over and over again from teachers, from principals, from people in districts saying, this really made a difference in my classroom, in my school. Even those who come in saying, not sure this is a good way to approach this, have come back and said, this really works. I really believe it. And ironically, it's a simple solution. This is not something that's going to cost a lot of money. It's just changing the way you do business, changing the way you serve breakfast. And in fact, if you serve more kids, you bring more federal money into the state. So it is not something that's going to cost districts more either.
As I mentioned in the introduction, this is the financial pie has already been carved. The money's sitting on the table waiting for someone to come by at the money buffet and say, okay, you've paid for this, you get this. It's a no cost, all benefit situation for the school districts.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And over the course of our campaign, New Jersey is receiving $100 million more a year to cover the cost of the additional children who now access breakfast. You know, there are about 100,000 more children every day getting breakfast. But as you point out and as we see in our data, there are still about 300,000 children who are going without. And we know that the number of hungry children has increased. We hear from teachers, from community providers, that sometimes for some kids, the meals they get in school are the only meals they have. So a child has lunch in school, goes home, no dinner, comes back, that breakfast is very important.
Looking at the county-by-county breakdown, and by the way, because some schools within the county are stellar performers, others are not, if you look at the county numbers, they're averaging at best in the low 50s, which that's not a great number to begin with, but Cumberland County is the new number one this year, going from 55% to 59%. Last year's number one was Passaic County, which they dropped to number three. And just give you a couple of examples, Sussex County went from 19 to 17, a good climb there. Warren County up two notches, 15 to 13. You go over to Camden County over, number 7 down to number 9. And what's another interesting one to point out, Gloucester County from 13 to 15. But as I said, Cecilia, county averages puts at best in the low 50s, and there are some school districts which can't even reach 10%.
Yes, I think that's shocking to us. Certainly districts that have very high percentages of children who are eligible for school meals, they can serve all children, they have stepped up. So some of the increase has been from districts like Patterson or Jersey City or even Camden, if you look back to the beginning of the campaign, where they've made this commitment to breakfast after the bell and are reaching more children. Some counties, you know, continue, even with high eligibility, continue to adhere to this breakfast before the bell, actually when kids are not in school. You know, there are other communities across the state with lower percentages of eligible children. That should not be a barrier to serving breakfast to kids.
Talking with Cecilia Zalkin, who is the president and CEO of Advocates for Children of New Jersey, about the 7th Annual New Jersey School Breakfast Report. On the web, you can download the report and summaries at acnj.org. Also, go to njfoodforthought.org for more on this issue. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I think what's more disturbing is the fact that not the schools that are continuing to be on the low end of the participation scale, it's the ones who are dropping. Is that just, again, for... is it change of administration? Is it the influx of school student population that's placing more of a demand that the schools aren't responding to? Is there any idea for that?
Well, I think, you know, in looking at that, and we were very concerned about that drop, I think probably the most common factor is that you do have a change in administration, a change in leadership, or you may have had someone who was reluctant to do this from the beginning now has an opening to say, nah, let's go back to serving breakfast before school starts. You know, that happens from time to time. This is an issue that needs to be visible, to be out there so that people understand it. When leadership changes, I think they need to be engaged in what was working, why it should be maintained after the bell.
How difficult do schools claim it to be to institute a school breakfast program, especially the school breakfast after the bell program? Because to me, as a layperson, not only is it a nutrition benefit, but it also helps students involve, grow their social skills because they get together either before or after the bell with their peers, and they're in a positive atmosphere, and they get to have more time together to cultivate friendships, relationships, and things like that.
You're absolutely right. You know, we have visited schools across the state. A couple of years ago, I was in an elementary school in Bound Brook where we held our release that year, and we went into a fourth-grade classroom where they were distributing breakfast after the bell. The kids were in small groups of four, which they were in the morning anyway. The announcements were coming over the loudspeaker. The kids were writing in their journals and sharing conversation. It was very exciting to see that, and it was actually just incorporated in what they would have been doing anyway in that first 15 minutes of the day. We were at a high school in Newark where the kids pack the breakfast before school starts. They distribute it to the classroom, and then they eat in the classroom. You know, the excuses that we hear, it's complicated, it's messy, we'll have to clean up a lot of garbage, it takes too much time from instruction, they just aren't true. And when districts get involved, they see how not only how easy it is, but how beneficial it is, certainly in the ways that you described. Opportunity for socialization, opportunity to engage the kids in providing, you know, serving the breakfast, packaging it. Grab-and-go breakfasts are very easy to serve in the classroom.
I know we've been putting the focus on the schools not getting it done, but I want to spend a little time applauding those specific school districts who are getting it done. If you look at the top 20 districts, 20 to 49% of eligible students. In Sussex County, Montague, far and away the leader with 83% of eligible students served. Behind them in Cumberland County's Greenwich, in Gloucester National Park, Jersey City Global Charter School with 70%. That's in Hudson County, and in Burlington County, New Hanover, with 67%. Those are indeed stellar numbers. Still room for growth, but nevertheless, in comparison to the schools that don't get it, those are indeed stellar performers. And in the high poverty districts who have changed their ways, you look at Merritt Preparatory Charter School in Essex County, from 47% to 92% participation. That is indeed stellar.
Yes. Yes, and it's very exciting to see that. And it's exciting to hear district teachers, principals talk about how successful it's been. All those barriers they thought would be a problem did not turn out to be true, and they've seen the difference in their kids.
We've talked about breakfast in the classroom and after the bell. Second chance breakfast. That's something we haven't talked about too much. That's where teenagers, they're not really hungry, I guess, when they come in and serving breakfast after first period. That's what's called second chance breakfast. That's, they're more in the groove, maybe they're more relaxed after racing or hustling into school, and they're calmed down, and it's a better time at that point in the day. But again, that sounds like some schools would have the same objection. Well, it's going to be an interruption, we got to clean up, and same old song, and no impact on the positive aspects of what this program offers.
That's correct. And I think that when we first started our campaign, there was this perception that, well, it'll be nice for the elementary schools, but high school students aren't going to want this. And that actually turned out to be not true. The districts that stepped up immediately found that there was demand from the high schools as well. And I think there's been a big push over the last 2 years to look at how do we reach kids at the high school level. And that's where I think the second chance breakfast came up. Do it after first period when kids are more apt to eat breakfast. You know, I think teenagers are a little different than elementary school students. I really applaud those districts that have been creative about how they can make sure that kids get that healthy start. You know, understanding how important that is to kids, but also to what's going on in the district.
Yeah, it's the 7th Annual New Jersey School Breakfast Report. You can download it, check out how your school and school district are doing at acnj.org. And also learn more about this topic, njfoodforthought.org. We've been talking with the president and CEO of Advocates for Children of New Jersey, Cecilia Zalkin. Cecilia, thanks for this year's info and hopefully the motivation for schools to get back on track and join in on what's already a paid-for program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.